Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to Providence. It's that time where our little ones can head on over to Children's Church. So it's ages 4, 5, 6. I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. We're continuing our journey through the Lord's Prayer. And if you remember last week, right before this passage, Jesus taught his disciples how not to pray. So the Lord's Prayer is all about teaching us how to pray, but before that, he taught us how not to pray. And it can be summed up like this. This is last week's sermon, if you weren't there. And it's, prayer is not a performance. It's not a performance for God. It's not a performance for other people. And so, what is it? And so, Jesus, now that he's told us what it's not, he's going to start telling us what it is. This is how you pray. And so, he actually says this. He says, pray then like this. And prayer begins with this statement, our Father in heaven. And so we're going to be looking at just those four words this morning. Our Father in heaven. And so to do that, we're going to be looking at two passages in Isaiah 64, verses 6 through 9, and also Romans 8, verses 15 to 17, if you want to be turning there in your Bible. But really, we're going to be looking at our Father in heaven. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and how your word tells us what is true about you and what is required of us. And in your word, you've even shown us how to pray. And you've especially shown us in the Lord's Prayer. And so we do ask that you would show us how to pray, how to come to you, how to approach you, and how to be with you. So we need you, and this means that we need to pray. Father, I pray that you would make this text come alive to us. Help us see what is true in it. Convict us of any sin that we might have, and help us see Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Isaiah 64, verses 6 through 9 reads, we have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. And Romans 8, verses 15 to 17 reads, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That's God's word. So last fall at Thanksgiving, we had the opportunity to actually take our family all the way to Las Cruces, New Mexico. So we hopped in our van, and we traveled basically 18 hours in a car. It took us 2 days. It was quite the journey. But if you don't know Las Cruces, it's where I was born. It's where I spent the first 8 years of my life. It's also where I went to college, and then I spent another 4 years after college. And so all in all, I've spent 16 years of my life in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I really, really do love the town. I think of it as home. There's great food there. It's Mexican food. It's different than the Mexican food we get here. It's really, really good. The food here is also really, really good. It's just different over there. It's a laid-back culture. So I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I'm kind of laid back. And every time I go back there to Las Cruces, I'm just in awe of how beautiful it actually is. So like east of the city, there's a mountain range. It's called the Oregon Mountains. They're just gorgeous. They change colors through the day. It just kind of depends on what's going on in the day. They can be brown. They can be purple. They can be blue or even red. It just really depends on what the sky is doing above. And that's the other thing, the sky. The sky in Las Cruces, it just seems bigger, it's bluer, it turns red at every sunset, and then the stars come out just crystal clear at night. And so there are mountains to climb, there's food to eat, it's actually possible during some times of the year to play golf one day, like in your shorts, and then the very next day, like go skiing, just 2 hours away. It's a great place. I think it's one of the reasons why New Mexico is actually called the land of enchantment. And here's the sad thing. When I lived there, I took it all for granted. I did. I didn't notice the mountains. I didn't look up at the sky enough. I didn't get into hiking like I should have. There's hiking for days there. I played a lot of golf, but I didn't take advantage of the skiing like I should have. I took it all for granted. Why? It was all too familiar. You see, sometimes when we are too close to something beautiful, we just can't see it. And it's the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. You see, for a lot of us, we are so close to it that we can't even see it. And we say this prayer as a church each week. We grew up, some of us saying it every week, but we don't think through what it says or what it means. And let me tell you, it is just beautiful. And it's not just beautiful to look at. I mean, there is some substance in the Lord's Prayer. And what we're going to find as we walk through it is that Jesus is actually showing us how to come face to face with our Father, with the Creator of the universe, the King of the universe. And He's showing us how to do this each day. He's showing us how to pour our hearts out to God, to sense Him listening to us and loving us. And all of this is right here in the Lord's Prayer. But the problem is that it's just too familiar. We don't see it, but we still need it. And so how do we overcome this problem of familiarity? One of the ways that we can do this is to just stop and look. To actually take some time to see what it is and what is actually going on. And sometimes I would do this when I was living in New Mexico. Someone else would notice the sunset and say, "Isn't that amazing?" And just point. And we would just stand there and look. And we just take it all in. And so it's with that sort of spirit that we're diving into the Lord's Prayer. It's why we're looking at something that is just so familiar to all of us. But there's actually another reason that I think is actually just as important for us. And it's this. Prayer is just not easy. In fact, it's really, really hard. In fact, some people have said that prayer is actually the most difficult aspect of our Christianity. I mean, for some of us, it's actually easy to read our Bibles. I'm one of those people. For others, it's easy to give and serve the poor. It's not that hard, if we're honest, to get up and show up for worship. It's pretty easy to be born with a generous nature if you're the kind of person that likes to give and share. It's easier to go to a Bible study and to be with other people than it is to just be by yourself and pray to God. Why? I mean, it's this way because it's just easier to talk to other people than it is to talk to God. I mean, we all know what it's like to have loads to say to everybody else that's in the room, to other people, and then have very little to say to God. And with that in mind, this is why Jesus has given us this model prayer. It's a gift to us. Jesus is actually giving us a way to pray. He knows that we need it. He also knows that prayer is not easy. So these are His directions. They're also a gift. And so this morning we're going to simply look at the first line of the prayer, "Our Father in heaven." And so this is the first line of the prayer. Jesus is simply telling us who we are praying to. He's telling us who we are addressing, who we're talking to. Who is it? He is our Father in heaven. And it's also the preface to the prayer. And so this means that it's the introduction, it's the beginning of the prayer. And in the preface, we see that there are three things that just come to our attention just straight away. It's that we can come to God with confidence. Why? Because He's our Father, but we also come to God with reverence because He's in heavens, but it also says something else. It's that we should come to God with other people. And so we have three points this morning. We see God is our Father, God is in heaven, and He is ours. So let's look at our first point. God is our Father. You know, for most of us, this isn't surprising. We call God our Father all the time. It's what we do, and we're all familiar with this idea that God is our Father. But did you know that there isn't an example of a single Jewish writer or author addressing God directly as Father in prayer until the 10th century A.D.? So in the Old Testament and in the Jewish writings, there are examples of God being referred to as the Father, but the word Father was never used as a direct form of personal address. Like they said, yeah, God is our Father, but we don't call Him Father. But in every prayer of Jesus we have in the New Testament, except for one, Jesus addresses God as Father. So here's why this matters. See, Jesus, who was a Jewish rabbi, who's from this tradition that doesn't address God as Father, he was ditching this tradition. And it wasn't just some little departure like what we have today when the preacher ditches the suit and just shows up one day with his khakis and a button down. It's not like when the church moves from using an organ to a piano. I mean, these things are small, but let's be honest, these things can get a church worked up, right? What Jesus was doing in that culture, it wasn't small. It was radical. It didn't just make a few people upset. It caused deep hostility towards Jesus. You see, when Jesus referred to God as His Father, to all His contemporaries, especially the Pharisees, they would become enraged. They were angry. They understood that in calling God His Father, Jesus was making Himself equal with God. And by addressing God in this familiar form, Jesus was indicating a profound sense of intimacy between Himself and between God. He was showing that He was the unique Son of God. That's what they understood that Jesus was doing, and they didn't like it. And then here's something even more amazing and even more radical. Jesus tells us to address God as Father. Even though all these people are angry, He tells us, He tells His disciples to address God as Father. Jesus was saying that not only was He allowed to address God as Father, but even His followers had that privilege. Why? It's because of adoption. And this is not something that we should take lightly. You see, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, every time we open our mouths and say, Our Father, we should be reminded of our adoption. That we have been grafted into Christ. That we have been placed into intimate relationship with God. A relationship that we did not have by our own nature. We didn't deserve it. In fact, we had rebelled against God. Yet, guess what? He adopted us in anyway. This is what we see in the Isaiah passage that we read earlier. Listen to the rebellion that's described. He says, we have all become like one who is unclean. Our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. No one calls upon the name of God. There's no one who rouses himself to take hold of God, and God has hidden himself from him. I mean, that is quite an indictment. And what's said of those people is true of us. This is who we are if left alone. And then we get to verse 8. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. And so even though the Old Testament taught that God is Father of Israel, to the traditional Jew, Jesus' prayer, it was revolutionary. God was only referred to as Father 14 times in the Old Testament, and it was always as the corporate Father of Israel. It was never anything personal. And here Jesus tells His disciples to address God as Father. As one scholar put it, he gives us a share in his sonship and empowers us as his disciples to speak with our Heavenly Father in such a familiar, trusting way as a child would with his father. And to be able to talk to God like as his child by calling him Father, it's not only a sign of our spiritual health, but it's also a mark of whether or not our faith is real or authentic. You see, when we know God as our Father, the impulse becomes for us to cry out to God, Abba, Father, dearest Father, Daddy, will you help me? You know, when my kids are afraid at night, when they need something, when they're hurt, when they need some help, what do? They cry out, Daddy. They cry out, Mommy. And we have that same help. You see, when our kids cry out to us, we go and help. And this is the same sort of access that we have to God. And this isn't something that we should take for granted. This is our next point. See, God is in heaven. God is in heaven. You see, not only is God our Father, not only can we approach him and call out to him, but he is also in heaven. And this actually does two things for us. First of all, you know, some of us, we didn't have really good earthly fathers. There are some people, like, they had fathers that were absent, or maybe they weren't there, they were there, but they really weren't. They were just distant. They were in the house, but they just kind of faded into the background, into the corners of the house. You never saw their hearts. You never saw their dreams. They didn't teach you about life. They didn't pass any wisdom onto you. Your earthly father was distant. And for some people, their father was actually abusive. He violated you. He was a monster in your home that you had to grow up with. And we all carry these wounds into adulthood if that was you. And the reality is that all of us have wounds that we carry with us that we got from our earthly father. Why? It's because our earthly fathers, they're not perfect. Our earthly fathers, they have clay feet. They carry the disease of sin, and no earthly father is able to be everything that they should be for their kids. And to this, Jesus says, guess what? We have a Father in heaven. And our Father in heaven, he's different from our earthly fathers, because our Father in heaven is not a father on earth. Our Father in heaven is not the Father who violated us. It's not our Father in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. There isn't any abuse in him. He'll never violate anyone. He is with us. He doesn't leave us. He is there with us. He doesn't shrink into the corners of the house as though he's not really there. This isn't our Father in heaven. I read a story about a girl that had a hard time seeing God as a loving father. And she was telling her pastor that she had a father that was really harsh. She loved her father, but he was just harsh. Listen to what she said. She said, I wanted so badly to get his approval that once, when my sister and I were doing chores, I tried helping them hang his shirts on the clothesline. But because I wasn't tall enough to reach it, I grabbed one of the shirts and hung it on the wheelbarrow. I was so excited to show him that I grabbed his hand when he got home and pulled him over to it, saying, see this, Dad? See what I did? He took his shirt, and there were two rust stains. He saw those, and he yelled, you ruined my shirt. Why did you do that? Why do you do that? Why can't you do what you're supposed to do? Why did you go ruin my shirt? And the girl felt terrible. And she told her pastor, if God is my father, he'd look at me and say, you ruined my shirt. It has rust on it, but I love you anyway. And the pastor looked at her and said this, not quite. In this situation, if God were your father, he would take the shirt off the wheelbarrow, he would put it on and give you a big hug for helping out. And then he would wear that shirt to work the next day. And whenever somebody asked him about those stains, he'd say, my daughter did that. Isn't that awesome? Do you see how much she loves me? You see, if you were in Christ, this is how God views you. If you have recognized your sin, if you have called on Jesus as your Redeemer, if you've repented, then this is how God loves you. You're His child. And this is what it means when we say, our Father in heaven. It's a gift to us. You see, everything that our earthly father couldn't be, our heavenly Father is. But there's something else that's just as important for us to think about when we think about our Father that is in heaven. It's just that. It's that He's actually in heaven. It's a reminder of His majesty. It's a reminder of His holiness. It's a reminder of His sheer power. It's a reminder that the one we are praying to already knows everything. This is a reminder that, yes, we can approach Him as children because He is our Father, but it's also a reminder of how privileged we are to be able to approach Him in the first place because He's in heaven. So it's a reminder that He is in heaven and we are not. We're on the earth. And so it's a call for us to remember His holiness, His justice, His righteousness. He's in heaven. He is all of those things and we are not. And so this is how we approach God, our Father in heaven. And these two truths, they cannot be separated. We come to God, when we come to God, we're speaking to the Almighty. We're speaking to the eternal, holy God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. It's Him. But we also remember that in Christ, He's our Father. And we can come to Him. And He's a good Father. And He not only knows everything about you, He knows what is good for you because He loves you. And this is so different from every other religion. You see, Islam teaches that God is in heaven. He is far away. He's far off, but you know what? He's not near. He's not a father. It's the same with some forms of Judaism. It's the same with deism. God is far off. He is away. He's in heaven. But he's not a father. He's not close. Some religions teach the exact opposite. Buddhism teaches that God is near. He's everywhere. He's close. But He's not far off. He's not in heaven. And here in the Lord's Prayer, we see both. He is our Father, and He is in heaven. And both of these matters. But there's one more thing that we need to see. And it's the word our. And this is our third point. He is ours. You see, Jesus didn't say, pray, my Father or your Father. He says, pray, our Father. And so if God is our Father, you know what this means? It means that all of us, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He is our Father. You know what this means? It means that there are no lone rangers in the kingdom. It means that all of us are in this together. We need others and others need us. The word our, guess what? Reminds us that we are a people. It reminds us that we aren't alone. And this is actually very important for us to realize because loneliness is actually becoming a huge problem in our society. George Gallup, referring to American loneliness or isolationism, writes, "We are physically detached from each other. We change places of residence frequently. One survey revealed that 7 in 10 do not know their neighbors. As many as 1/3 of Americans admit to frequent periods of loneliness, which is a key factor in the high suicide rate among the elderly." Listen to this story from the Boston Globe in 1996. "It could be never said that Adele Gabary's neighbors were less than responsible. When her front lawn grew hip high, they had a local boy mow it down. When her pipes froze and burst, they had the water turned off. When the mail spilled out of the front door, they called the police. The only thing they didn't do was checked to see if she was alive. And she wasn't. And so on Monday, police climbed her crumbling brick stoop, broke into the side door of her little blue house, and found what they believed to be the 73-year-old woman's skeletal remains sunk in a 5-foot-high pile of trash where they had apparently lain perhaps for as long as 4 years. Eileen Dugan, 70. She was once a close friend of Gabbery's, whose house and her house sits less than 20 feet from the woman's home. Here's what she says. "It's not really a friendly neighborhood. I'm as much to blame as anyone. She was alone and she needed someone to talk to, but I was working two jobs and I was sick of her coming over at all hours. Eventually, I stopped answering the door." You see, nobody was there for Adele Gabbery. And we've all heard stories like this. This is no isolated incident. You see, too many in our culture are isolated from other people. It's a pattern in our world, and it's the result of unbridled individualism. And we bring that into the church. Well, one church leader said that the biggest challenge facing the church, and I would say our church, this is a big challenge for us, is to address the fragmentation and discontinuity of the American lifestyle. You see, we were created for community, and many of us, we live our lives without actually knowing other people. And so when we say, "Our Father in heaven," it's a reminder that our faith is communal. God is not my Father alone. He's not your Father alone. He's our Father together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are doing this together. Our faith is communal. Our God is a Father who is in heaven, and He is ours. Our Father in heaven. I mean, just saying this is a reminder of the gospel. It's a reminder that we together have been saved. It's a reminder that there is a God in heaven and we can call upon Him because He's our Father. And we can do all of that because of Jesus. It's a reminder of our spiritual family. It's why Paul is able to say, "But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You know, the only time in the Gospels where Jesus says, "Abba, Father," it's in Gethsemane. As He's sweating blood, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father." It's what we cry when we feel and sense that the world is broken and in need of a Redeemer. And we can cry out to God. We can approach God as our Father because through Jesus we're part of the divine family. Jesus is our brother. We have a Heavenly Father. It's God. We are in the family because of Jesus. You see, there was a time when we couldn't approach God because we were His enemies. But because of Jesus, now we can cry, "Father. Father. Our Father." We can say, "Our Father in heaven," because of Jesus. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, your name is the name of all names. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You have made all things in heaven and on earth, and yet we can approach you as Father. Let us not take this for granted. Let us not forget that you are our Father or that you are in heaven. Let us hold these wonderful truths tightly in our hands and in our hearts. We need to do this. We need your help to do this because sometimes we just can't see it. Father, I pray that as we embrace this, that we would see the gospel clearly and our love for Jesus would only increase. And Lord, I pray that we would do all of this together as a church. Because you're our Father. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.